will be 2 minutes of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shuts up the door. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero.
Of course, Giroud's header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma, strepitosa in questa lì.
Fabregas, it's Nasri, can he go all the way here? Still Nasri, looks Rashani, wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice, and not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And
Jack Wilshere, Cazorla, Giroud, Giroud again, Jack Wilshere! It's stunning from Arsenal!
Bradley swings it in invitingly, oh my word, it's gone straight in, it's Bradley!
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Today we have a jam-packed show. Joe will be with us for the first half of the show, I believe. I believe he has a prior engagement for the second half, so it'll just be me and you. I don't know. He might be able to stay for the whole show, but we're planning for him to be on in the first segment of the show. The first segment's going to be about news, football news from the last couple of weeks. Second half of the show, we're going to discuss the downfall of the EPL, English Premier League, and we're also going to discuss, we're also going to give you a recap of past 2 weeks' previous Champions League ties and what we saw. So hopefully he can stay for the second half of the show, but if not, we'll definitely keep you entertained. As usual, you can reach us at the footballweekly.com website. It's F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. That's the website. You can also follow us on Twitter. The Twitter address is at Reginald Dino. I still haven't asked Joe if he wants to give out his Twitter handle on the show, but if I remember, I'll ask him that. There's also numerous ways you can subscribe or download the podcast. You can get us on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, Player FM, we're on TuneIn, and you can subscribe via email. So every time a new episode is uploaded, you'll get an email telling you exactly where you can get it. There's also numerous ways on the website that you can, if you have a podcatcher, there's numerous ways you can get the podcast as well through that. For the last couple of weeks, I've been telling all the listeners about a forum. We have a Football Weekly has a forum now. So it's just a place where you can get your opinions heard or read. Other members can respond to what you've posted or start new topics and things like that. It's just for us as a community. If you believe strongly in something and you want to hear what other people's opinion on your opinion is, you can definitely write it down there and people will post and get back to you. So there's that. There's also a contest going on. Football Weekly is having a contest. Unfortunately, it's only for Canadians. I was able to get my hands on a couple of 15% off Adidas.ca coupons. So we have a contest for that. For the details, just go to the website. And it's a pretty easy contest. But like I said, it's only for Adidas.ca. So we'll try to have a contest for everybody later on in the year, but for now we just have this contest going. But enough of my rambling, let's get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, which starts right now. Before we get started this week, just wanted to preview next week's show. We're trying to get a guest on. He's a FIFA licensed agent. He's also a technical director for a local soccer sporting academy here in the GTA in Toronto. So I just wanted to get him on the air and maybe he can give us some of his trials and tribulations of picking up players and getting them into Europe and other leagues throughout the world and what the perception of North American players are in those higher European leagues like the EPL, Bundesliga? What do they think about players from Canada, from USA, from Mexico, and or this side of the world? So hopefully we can get him on, because I think that'll be a very insightful show for you guys, and definitely stay tuned for that. In the first segment of our podcast this week, Joe and I are going to discuss some of the news headlines that have been taking place in the world of football. Unfortunately, we always come back to some distasteful things in soccer, and whether it be players dying or players doing things they shouldn't, and players and managers and very prominent people saying things they shouldn't.
Ignorance sees no boundaries, unfortunately, it seems.
It very much does seem that way. First story we're going to start off with is a story out of Italy, where former AC Milan, Real Madrid, and I believe he was national team coach as well.
Yeah,
right?
Revolutionary kind of soccer coach, really. Manager in the world.
Right. Right?
I mean, we talk about today's Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Cruyff's Ajax. It's really Sacchi's Milan team with the big three, the Dutch, Van Basten, Rijkaard, Gullit. So
right,
there's a lot here, Reg. Anyway, I'll let you explain further before I give my two cents, because there's a lot.
Well, the coach we're talking about is Arrigo Sacchi. And he made a comment. I don't have the whole comment in front of me. I just have it paraphrased pretty much.
Yeah.
And he made a comment saying that there were too many black players or colored players coming up throughout the Italian, I guess,
and identifying as that's the problem with soccer in Italy. And
right.
That's why the... Can I get right into this, Reg?
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Okay. You really got to be... I mean, how do you agree with this? How do you defend this? This has been my main dilemma. Those of you guys know, I know everyone knows, as much as an Arsenal fan as Reggie is, I'm about the equal fan as AC Milan. But I'm not just saying this to be politically correct. I'm just saying this because I know Reggie knows me for a long time. I think he knows that I mean this wholeheartedly. This is disgusting. And I don't mean the fact that you can't just say that. I mean, not even can't say it. If you believe it, that's more disgusting. Here's where I'm going to try and put this in perspective. Wrong on so many levels.
Right.
Wrong on more levels is that he's gathering support. And here's what I think he meant to say. But still, really, no one's going to deny there's too many foreigners in the developmental leagues and so on like that. Do most or the majority of them happen to be from Africa? Maybe. We've talked about the prominence of African football and how much it's been gaining in popularity and all that stuff. And by popularity, I mean by developing amazing players. But this is just way offside. I mean, it's unfortunate that we have to be dealing with this in 2015. If you want to come out and say there's too many foreigners and domestic players in that particular country, which in many countries, Reg, I think we would agree, is a problem.
It is.
But it's got nothing to do with blue, black, white, yellow, red.
It's foreigners, right? In general, though, right?
And that's why this is so hard to defend. I'm saying it's more disappointing. In the early 90s, we know the story. He brought three of the world's best players. Two of them happened to be people of color. But this is scary.
Sure is.
We can't accept it.
Anytime a person starts off a sentence with, I'm not racist.
Yeah.
You're about to say something that's racist.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And it's ignorance, right? But that can't be, that's the basis of it.
Right.
I'm disappointed, Reg. I'm going to get really personal with this. And it's not because I'm trying to gain the popular support here. I want to make that really clear.
Right.
I had always thought of him as an innovator. An innovator as a manager, an innovator
before,
as a tactician.
Before you get into all of that, I'm not that familiar. I know who he is, and I know
right.
everything about him. I don't know
yeah.
what innovations he's brought to Italian soccer. So if you want to people know,
okay.
me as well.
Yeah, can I? Okay, so zonal defending, right?
Okay.
In Italy, before we had that, before Arrigo Sacchi, you didn't really have zonal defending en masse.
Okay.
And people didn't think you could win with this. You had traditional man-on-man marking.
Right.
And not to get too tactical here, but he really brought the zonal defending philosophy, defending areas, and bringing a faster, could you believe this, Serie A fans, which is the problem with it now, slow, faster soccer and football and more attractive football in the Italian game.
Right.
Right? Which is, hey, if we still have a problem with that today? Of course we do. So that's where it was, and it was revolutionary. That's why he's put in the same category in terms of soccer, football, development with, again, Cruyff's Ajax, Pep's Barca, Sacchi's Milan.
Right.
Right? And innovative, well, in a time where you can only bring three foreign players at one time in a game, each right. Sunday at that time, each Serie A game, he brought Marco Van Basten, and then, of course, I guess it is relevant for this, two players of color, Ruud Gullit and Frank Rijkaard.
Right.
So I'm disappointed. I feel duped because those are the early 90s, and if we think there's racism now in Europe and in football, what are we thinking of the early 90s?
Exactly.
Reggie, I mean, you can – so that's why I feel like, what? This is a guy – like, it's like finding out your one of your greatest idols has got a lot of blemishes, right? So for me, it's like this – end of an innocence kind of thing. And it's not too harsh to think about it. I'm ashamed more than anything, right? I'm ashamed of this because I thought this was a different thing. Now, all this tells me is, what do we say, Reg? Not to get too social and so on, but like, really? There's lack of education here. It's got nothing to do with what you learn in a book. I mean, this is an uneducated response. It's an ignorant racist comment.
People that only live in one place their whole life. And don't and, get to
you know, Reg,
get out there and
has
see.
He though? That's the disappointing part.
Well, I know he's gone to Spain, but Spain at the time that he was there wasn't very much different from Italy.
Good point, but you know, traveled the world, been around, supposed to have seen things. I mean, this is supposed to be quote unquote cultured. I mean, how many times have we had this conversation, Reg, over the years, whether it be on a podcast
or at the bar or whatever?
At the bar, saying you know. I prided myself for being an Italian Serie A fan without the blinders.
Right.
And saying, yeah, but the problem is foreigners taking the spots of young players. And not that taking the spots, the meaning there's not enough of the domestic player. But that could be vis-a-vis anywhere. That domestic player, how about this, Reg? That domestic player could have been Mario Balotelli.
Right, exactly.
Matteo Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Liverani, a lot. There's about six or seven other players of color. This is 2015. So I'm sorry, everybody else. I told Reggie before. I think this, in my opinion, deserves a heck of a whole lot more time. Disappointing, and I'm not trying to get on my soapbox here.
Well, what we discussed earlier, off the air, was something that we were looking at doing in upcoming podcasts and having maybe a 3 or 4. Episodes of a podcast dedicated to racism within football and what is being done to curb it. So we were trying to get that. I've been telling these guys for months that we're going to do a FIFA corruption show, but I think maybe that the racism in football show might be a 2 or 3 part podcast.
I think it's worth
show
it,
on it. I think it's yeah, you know get yeah, some get a couple of more guests, have a round table, and we'll.
Yeah.
We're not going to fix the problem, but we identify some of the problems and how they can go about fixing it. Because I don't see. I spoke on my another podcast. I spoke about it yesterday with the Chelsea Paris Saint Germain issue, and it was just like I don't think FIFA or UEFA is doing enough because there was
Reggie. I couldn't agree with you more. I think this is the respect in football. Say no to racism. Fantastic. Those are great little marketing things, mm-hmm. and they sell T-shirts and so on.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Let's get going here. Let's get some sanctions here.
Yes.
Let's get some because ultra groups are connected to clubs. This is not North America.
Right.
Right. With all due respect to great supporters groups here.
Ooh, the Red Patch Boys is not. Yeah. It's not the same as the ultras, man.
And all respect them. Fantastic. Right. I mean, it's great. They're establishing a tradition. Amazing. But these ultras control. Decisions made by clubs.
Right.
So we get this, right? We know this. UEFA, FIFA, you want to do something here? Do it. Do it. What are you waiting for? Respecting football? Samuel Eto'o has to get bananas thrown on him every league that he goes to? And we put a respect in football? Do something. You know? Like, I think that's just an example, right, Reg?
I know.
And he's a player who is, I use him as an example because he's never shied away taking the political stance and him understanding that that's what it should be.
And I was just doing a little bit more reading, there was another incident within Italy, and I'm sorry I'm picking on Italy, but...
No, Reggie, here's my point. Pick on it.
Yeah.
Pick on it, because the FIGC president...
Right, that's what I was going to...
Come on.
That's what I was going to get into.
You know, sorry, you go ahead.
The Italian FA president, Carlo
Tavecchio,
he made a comment about a fictitious African player named Opti Poba, which when you translate that into English, it means eating bananas. And he likened it to players coming from foreign players, from foreign countries, coming in and taking, I guess, jobs away from Italian-born players.
I'll tell you it's nonsense.
It is. And
I'll tell you it's nonsense just because of this. I mean, the focus. Let's look at the focus. If we want to get this, and again, sorry, guys, we're taking time on this, but okay. The problem is absolutely that of not enough domestic players, and I think it's elite. We'll talk about it later with England, right? it does. You're right. There's too many. If it's an Italian federation, German federation, they didn't have enough of their own players come through, youth players. That's essentially the heart of this.
Right.
But the message and the way it's delivered is totally offside. For example, usually the argument was bigger teams don't have enough domestic-born players. Is that fair to say?
Yeah,
right.
You can say that, yeah.
Right, okay. But a team like Catania, I think now is in Serie B, second division, has traditionally been one of those clubs, Palermo,
right,
with a lot of players in their youth system that are not quote-unquote Italian.
Right.
They're from Argentina. No one's saying anything about that.
Right.
No one is saying that. Not one person. I said this, well, you know, at Catania. You know, they get praised for it.
Well,
this is offside. Wrong. And you can't just keep covering things up. And you can't keep making excuses for them. Fabio Capello cannot come out and say, well, what he meant was it's just wrong.
But it's also the punishment that are going to be coming down from UEFA and FIFA. Well, I don't even think FIFA does anything, but UEFA,
no,
this it's president, Carlo Tavecchio.
How is he allowed to be president?
Yeah, he still won. It was during the presidency race, and he still won, and it's only a six-month ban.
And moreover, Dimitri Albertini,
right,
was part of the national team coalition, if you will, like the heads of it in terms of behind the scenes, you know, and he's denouncing him as a president,
right,
presidential candidate,
right,
and he wins.
And he still wins.
You know, so shame on them is what I'm saying. And yeah, if I get on my political soapbox, so be it. It's just nonsense. It is no place for it. And it's absolutely absurd that some of these guys are actually defending that.
Right.
I'm never going to call into question Sacchi's contribution as a football person, innovator, all that stuff. Can't be serious if you want me to be acknowledged in the same way as I did before. And there's no way. That's just the thought is there, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, it's not like this is not a misstep. That's not it. This is what I meant.
Exactly. I know. I'm like I said, I'm more disappointed in punishment.
I'm trying to defend it. But yeah, I mean, are we really going to rely on FIFA? We've talked about how useless they are about doing anything. It's like they know there's a problem. They start all these campaigns and nothing's done of it. And we sure as heck we're not going to really expect the Italian Federation to do anything here.
Yeah, I mean, but if FIFA doesn't step in and do something, who are we waiting for?
Yeah, it's just so wishy-washy.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, philosophies, the culture, I don't mean race here, I mean the culture, the way people think, it runs too deep for this to be going away anytime soon, and it's not. It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And this is definitely something that we're going to keep our eye on in the future. Anything that comes out from this, we will definitely let you know in future podcasts. So another issue that I wanted to get to within the news hits close to home for me, being an Arsenal fan. Something that I spoke about in a previous podcast. I spoke about Stan Kroenke, the majority owner. I think he owns 62% of all the shares for the Arsenal Football Club. A billionaire, multi-billionaire, owns the Colorado Avalanche. I think he owns the Colorado Rapids of MLS.
Yeah.
Denver Nuggets in the NBA. St. Louis Rams in the NFL.
And
he owns
the teams.
Sorry?
One or two.
Yeah, and he owns the
arena
that the Avalanche and the Nuggets play in, the Pepsi Center in Denver. So this guy's a multi billionaire, not millionaire, billionaire.
He owns a bad mustache too.
Yeah,
a
terrible mustache, but
I don't think we're saying
exactly.
Anyway,
I mentioned in a previous podcast that Arsenal fans pay the highest ticket prices in the EPL. They hadn't won anything in like nine years.
This smells like some MLS tea.
Yeah, it really does. And I think I compared the two in that podcast. But there was actually an incident where Stan Kroenke, at the end of the year, took his dividends from the club. Club made money. He took his share. And everybody was sitting back going, this guy's a billionaire. Why is he concerned about $3 million, taking $3 million away from the club? When we're always crying, we don't have any money to make transfers. We don't have any money to do this. And you're making a profit and you're taking your dividends. Just leave it. You're a billionaire. Leave it in the club and let us, you know, win a trophy. Get some players so we can win trophies or even give a kickback to the fans.
This is where I have a problem with. We need more owners, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. Mark Cuban. Here's why I say Mark Cuban.
Great owner.
Yeah. And here's why I say that. Because these guys, if they're looking to make money from their sports teams, I got a problem with that. And everyone's going to think I'm crazy. Here's the thing. Stan Kroenke, you mentioned everything he owns. Does he, when you own a football team, soccer team, like Arsenal, there's something more than just the bottom line. Because soccer, football, is supposed to be, like, winning matters here.
Exactly.
The fans, who we say the bad of it being ultras and the bad of it being supporters group who do some, you know, they do terrible things, we get that. But the good of that is that they still can influence the team on the field.
Exactly.
So he shouldn't be worried about Arsenal making the money. He's made enough damn money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the reason why,
right?
I brought it up when I first talked about it, because it was just like, you know, the fans are traveling all around, are spending their own money, paying the highest prices. Just give them a kickback. Say you're a season holder, divide $3 million up amongst the season holders and give them back something.
Where I attribute this back to ignorance, Reg.
Yeah.
It's ignorance about understanding the history of these soccer and football teams, if you will.
Right.
Started off, I mean, what do you want to go back to, the Manchester United days? And so on, and you know, Rupert Murdoch, like, wherever you want to go, there's the fear, right? The Glazers, Manchester United, do they understand the connection that the fans have with the team? This is not just, oh, the Lakers will be back and we'll just get the number one pick. This is a different animal that is European sports.
Right.
And this bothers me. This is so wrong in so many ways. You've said it. Arsenal is always one of those teams. You know, I don't have to tell you, fourth place, we need reinforcements. Can we afford them? We can't afford them.
Exactly.
Money owns your team. The guy's name is Mr. Money. I mean, this is stupid. And it's crept in. And of course, we all know why it's crept in to European football, because what a product the EPL has become, right, Reg? I mean, that's it. It's driven by money now.
That's all it is. They just signed a $5 billion TV contract, right?
That's it. So if you are running Barclays Premier League, do you care that this team's not winning? No, everybody's making money.
Everyone's making lots of money.
and ho-hum, who the hell do you think loses? This is the commercialization of football. This is part of it. And this is part of the thing that is starting to make me sick about it. It's the same thing when players go to the World Cup and club teams are controlling, you know, or having a say as to how much are they playing for their This is ridiculous. This is nuts. He's taken $3 million from Arsenal.
And he doesn't
need
it.
Come on, man.
And he doesn't need it. And he didn't need it back then. And then the reason why I'm bringing this up, and I didn't know this until last week. I was sitting at home. I was driving and I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about Stan Kroenke building a stadium in LA to move a football team there. And one of the guys on the radio made a comment that he's married to a lady named Ann Walton since 1978. They've been married a long time. So I'm like, I'm sitting around, who the hell's Ann Walton? And then I was told that she's the heiress to the Walmart fortune.
Small little corporation.
Small corporation, not a lot of money
small
there.
Small family run store.
You know, mom and pop shop, right?
This is nonsense.
So I came home and I was like, wait a minute. And I immediately heard that, I thought back to the podcast I did about Stan Kroenke taking the $3 million. It was ridiculous back then. Now I'm pissed. So I get home and I look up people's net worth. So the net worth of Stan Kroenke, who owns all those teams, is $6.3 billion.
And bazonker mind, this is stupid. And any fan is going to tell me, see, you're a real fan of your team. Any fan is going to tell me, yeah, but it's smart business. When the hell did you? And this is where I got to agree with Bob McCallum on this. I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. but I agree with him here.
Mm-hmm.
When the hell did you care what your owner's bottom line was? Don't you? You should just care about, are they winning? Are we competitive? Do we have a chance?
And can I afford to go to a game?
Exactly.
That's
and
pretty.
What is my owner doing to make sure he's giving me a chance or she's giving me a chance to win?
Right.
Not, well, this is smart financials. Wow. It's like all those stupid Leaf fans who say, Toronto Maple Leaf fans here in Toronto and around Leaf Nation, God, that say, wow, that's smart business. You know what I'm sick of? This is what I'm sick of. I'm sick of that. We should know this stuff. I mean, we should be talking about and being so knowledgeable about contracts. Like, when did we ever have to know about this? I'll tell you why, Reg, because what you've mentioned. Because a guy like Stan Kroenke, that's why the good old Joe fan, like us, mm-hmm. has to be involved with knowing about the way contracts are built and transfer fee this and transfer this. This is nonsense.
It is nonsense.
If it's like that, right, and we know this guy's got all this money, which he does, and we always talk about these big mega clubs, Arsenal should not be in fourth place every year. Arsenal should have all the top signings every year.
They should.
Because if this guy, right? If this guy.
And it shouldn't be a stand back and keep your eyes wide open when we spend $30 million on a player. Like, what's Arsenal doing? Wow, why they spent so much money? It's like, why is it such a surprise? we're the most profitable team in the EPL every
right.
year.
That's right. That's the nature of the beast, right? And everybody says, oh, but that's good. No, listen, this is not tiddlywinks here. This is big time, top league in the world, meaning money-wise. We get that. We'll get to that later, but money-wise, we get it. So they should spend, because guess what? They can.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not Fulham, they're not Everton.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's got the coin, you've made the decision, let's go. Anyway.
And just to end it off, for those of you that are curious, his wife, Ann Walton, she's worth not as much as Stan Kroenke. She's only worth $5.8 billion.
Only.
So together they got almost $12 billion between the two of them, and this guy's going in there worried about taking the $3 million dividend out of the club.
All I know is
the thing about it is most of the American owners that I don't, well, you know what, like, it's not a business class, so I'm not going to get into it, but seems like it's sort of like a shelter for them to hide their failings in America. Man U.
It's like they want a piece of the pie, no problem. But do you understand what goes into it? So that's what I'm saying.
He's probably taking a little bit of money out of the Arsenal club, so he can put a little bit more money into building a stadium for an NFL team in LA. So it's just, anyways.
Listen, you want to own these teams? No problem. But we're not in business. We're the fan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not in business with it. I don't know what about my bottom line. Make my team competitive. My team better.
Yeah, I know.
For sure as hell, don't try to make it worse.
I know. So. But anyways, I just heard that and I wanted to bring it up because it ties into a previous podcast. But moving on. Second half of the podcast, we are going to review the past couple of weeks of Champions League results, and you can hear in my voice probably not too impressed by my squad, but anyways, we'll recap what happened the past 2 weeks in Champions League. Start off with Arsenal, I guess. Get it out of the way first. Very disappointing, but
I'm going to be that guy who's going to jump on the Arsenal. I've defended Arsene Wenger, and today I can't.
Well,
because the team came out, that must have been, I was thinking you watched the game, well, you must be throwing a lot of stuff at the screen, because there's no conviction in that team. They really look like, I'm going to sound like the everyday fan, they look like they just mailed it in, saying, we're going to play these guys today, we're going to win 2-0, and we'll go there and get a tie and we're done. I mean, it just, well,
they're not the only ones, though, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, we said it too. And it's, and you expect, though, but this is my point. This is where we expect the manager to say, hey, boys, this will be like this, right? Let's expect this. And it was just, everyone said it. It is what it looked like. A horrible, disappointing, underachieving Arsenal result. And this one's got to be on Arsene Wenger. This one has to be on him. Has to be. Yes, the defense is diabolical, and you know what? But again, how many years have people been saying, murder sacker? Really? So, to me, this is Arsene Wenger. Like, I mean, they're calling this manager of Monaco, you know, Mourinho 2.0. Like, we love to use that. But, like, we knew he parked the bus. We knew they were going to be what they were, right? You got to break that down. You got to come out with, what's the formula to win Champions League? You got to, on your home games, you have to.
Smash.
Absolutely. The worst of it, you can't, you must avoid not coming out of there with, you know, a mountain to climb. It's all on Arsene Wenger. That team was not prepared, and they weren't in the right mindset. Yes, I'm going to say the leader of the team. No doubt. But you know what? This is a pattern here that obviously you don't like. And never mind, as a neutral here, you expect more from Arsenal. And it's just not good enough for me.
So, well, they came,
that's my take.
When they came out, first 5-10 minutes of the game, honestly, Joe, I said to myself, Arsenal's going to win 4 or 5-0. It's not even going to be fair. They were all over them for the first 10 minutes.
I guess they thought the chances would keep coming, and they didn't.
Yeah, and I mean,
or even when they did, I mean, Giroud, who I okay, yeah, he missed the sitter. Yeah, he had a bad. But it's Mesut Ozil who's really disappointing me.
Wow.
Mesut Ozil is really, really, this was his chance to take, you know, an opportunity and go with it. He looked a step? He looked about 4 or 5 steps slow.
But it's funny that both players coming to the EPL from Real Madrid aren't doing as well as they were billed to, right? Di Maria at Man United isn't started off great, just like Ozil did. Started off great, and then it's just, I think we're seeing the real Ozil now, you know? Same way we're seeing the real Di Maria. I mean, Di Maria is a fantastic player, but I think surrounded by Benzema, Ronaldo, Modric, and those guys.
That's
Kadira,
a good point that you brought up too, right?
And even having Ozil playing with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And even more so important, you look at the importance of the manager.
Right.
Louis van Gaal, all people are talking about how he has not unlocked it yet. So then, absolutely, you're bang on, because he's got Di Maria, he's got these guys, so he hasn't found the right formula. Well, Arsene, what the hell are you waiting? Like, this is not just someone else who's going to bash the coach. I've been in his corner. I've supported him. But after a performance like that, this was a real chance for Arsenal to go deep. I'm not saying that they still can't make the tie and get through, because it is Champions League. They do. Do they have the quality to go into Monaco and have a smashing performance? Hell yeah. I mean, you know, remember the Arsenal AC Milan tie where maybe one more minute, Arsenal wins that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm not saying that it's. Here's what I'm saying. It shouldn't have to come down to this for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents. And Arsenal, oh, God, come on.
Well, just to end off this game, I don't want to get too. I can sit here and talk to you for hours about that game, but Arsenal was down 2-0 and they scored. That was a big, big, big goal for Arsenal.
To concede again.
Right. And then a minute after that. 2 minutes after that, they get hit on the counter, and they lose the ball at Monaco's half, right near maybe 30 yards away from their net, Monaco's net. We lose the ball. They hit us on a counter. It goes 70 yards, and they slot it in. And it's just like, what the hell is going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, what the hell is going on? So
that's not indicative of a team that's supposed to be challenging for at least the top four. Never mind. They should be in the semifinal or close to every year.
And I always say that when Arsenal gets around the 18, they're fantastic. From our 18 to the other team's 18, it's one touch. It's brilliance. And when they get to the other 18, it's just like the ideas just go poof. And we don't know what to do. We'll pass the ball. We'll keep the ball. We'll pass the ball. We'll keep the ball.
I've always said that too. I've always said that they lack just a killer. you know?
Right. We don't cross the ball. We don't have anybody to cross. We only have Giroud to cross the ball to. You're not crossing it to.
And that's not usually their game.
You know, exactly. They want to play 1-2s and score inside the 6-yard box, and it's not going to work. We took two shots outside the 18-yard box, and one of them went in, and the other one he put right on Giroud's foot, and Giroud put it over the net. So why aren't we shooting from far? Why are we trying to get in the 6-yard box and score? But I've been saying that for freaking 10 years. So anyways, moving on.
We'll go on, yeah.
Second.
And saying that, I still think they're coming through, but we won't even get to the predictions. But just how funny and crazy Champions is on. You're right, Rich.
You're better than me. You think they're going to go to Monaco and score 3 goals? I don't think so. But anyways, second game we have on the list here is PSG versus Chelsea.
Didn't we just say this? He's going to get the result.
Yeah.
And I mean, and see, this is what I mean. Back to the Mourinho. We talk about Mourinho so much. Because guess what? The manager does bloody matter.
Right.
And he's going to get it right. I don't see them. Listen, I want PSG to win this tie.
No, so do I.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. But this is Mourinho. You know, this is, just knows how to get the most out of his team. And they just see, like, they believe, right? So, I don't know, this one, I don't know, Reg, did we expect anything other? I think we kind of predicted this anyway.
Yeah, I said park the bus, maybe sneak a goal, get a tie, and come back home and win 2-0.
Yeah, right?
So and then they go through.
We expected, right?
Pretty much, and go
got
through.
That vanilla
that was
ice
it.
Cream, yeah.
That was it. That's what you need to do.
That's it.
Third game, another English team. We have Man City versus Barcelona.
Well, I mean, what the hell is Pellegrini thinking? Again, the manager.
There's a common theme here, right?
Okay, well, I'm going to go. Oh, man. Okay, well, who should I do? Mayweather? I can't do that. Listen, man. Mike Tyson. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to go to Mike Tyson. Hey, Mike Tyson, let's go. Shot for shot. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
This is Barcelona. I know it's not the Barcelona of years past. It's still Barcelona.
Yeah, but this Barcelona team that played Man City, I was saying this to somebody else. They were playing with the same one-touch skill that they always play with. But they also had that steel about them. They played tough.
I really think he doesn't get the headlines as everybody else. Ivan Rakitic is a player.
Yeah.
He's
bossing the midfield. And I know Yaya Toure wasn't there, but I don't think Yaya Toure would have made a difference.
No,
I don't think he would have made a big difference. They should have lost that game 3-1.
Messi
misses
the
penalty.
Not only in the end.
I told someone on our team, I said, if Barcelona scores one goal, this thing's over.
Yeah, and they go and get two.
You know,
so. And Messi proved that he's human, but, I mean, Rakitic. Hey, listen, we're overlooking a two-goal performance by Suarez.
Oh, yeah. The first goal was magic.
Yeah, but even Rakitic, I mean, hey, listen, and dare I say, but PK played a brilliant game.
Yeah, he played amazing back there.
No, he played fantastic. And, you know, the commentators, they did mention that too. And how, you know, because Mascherano was jumping in, but, you know, PK was doing a good job of covering. But you can't get him to say it again. This Rakitic, I knew he was like, not only he was a player, but wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is. And I've been following him along this year at Barca. And again, I think even, you know, in yesterday's game, this guy is a player. We expected that. I don't know if I expected that, but I did not expect Pellegrini to come out so wide open.
Yeah,
and really.
But he thinks his team is the best team in England.
Absolutely.
And he thinks he has the horses to run with anybody in the world, and he's going to prove it to everybody. And it's just like sometimes you got to sit back and say, "Well, honestly, we don't."
And I do feel bad for. Well, again, I was in the game, but I feel bad for, well, him too, but Aguero. And so these guys, you know, they get that draw every year of Barca. But we said, you know, just like Arsenal can unlock, Man City should be getting just as much or more grief about their inefficiencies in champions than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just me. Anyway.
Yeah. So we have a common theme of one manager understanding what needs to happen, and two, a little naive, I think.
I really believe it.
Okay. So we'll stick into Spain. We'll go to Real Madrid versus Schalke 04. Real Madrid wins that. Actually, by the way, I don't think we're giving the scores. Arsenal lost to Monaco 3-1. Chelsea and PSG tied 1-1. Barcelona beat Man City 2-1. And Real Madrid beat Schalke 2-0.
Ho-hum. You know, we get it, right?
Yeah, I watched that game. It wasn't even wasn't even tough for Real Madrid.
No, right? I mean, it's Real Madrid and Schalke. Like,
could have been more. It could have been more, and I mean.
Well, I think it's like a business man, like a business performance by Real, right? I mean, just do what you need to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, they know what they need to do, and it's just we're better than you, and we're going to show you we're better than you, and at the end of the game, it's going to be shown that we're better than you by the scoreline, and that's exactly what happened.
Is the theme of this the manager? Listen, Ancelotti. I mean, he's just gonna. I'm biased, yeah.
But you have to realize all the managers that are doing the right things have won Champions League before.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know, if he's going to get them. Does it hurt that he's got, or does it help hurt that he's got those guys on his team? We get it. But if we said, you know, if you told me if I can have Alexis Sanchez on my team when I take him, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of these things, and you got to get the most out of them, and we get it, it's a grind, absolutely, but it's Champions League, you know, and you got to pull the trigger, and not only with substitutions, but how you approach the game, and I think that a lot of these times, you know, these managers that do get it wrong, Wenger and Pellegrini, they need to be raked over the coals for it, anyway.
Well, Wenger was, I don't know about Pellegrini, but Wenger was definitely.
Yeah, I guess Wenger is constantly being raked over the coals.
Well, I mean.
So I actually pull him out. But today I put him back in.
Nah, you gotta leave him in there sometimes, yeah. Man. Because he brings it on himself, but he's a stubborn old man. But anyways, wow, sticking with Spain again. Atletico versus Bayer Leverkusen. I don't know if you watch. I didn't watch any of this game. I just know
I
the final score. So I don't. Yeah. I can't really comment on it because I didn't watch it. But Bayer Leverkusen beat Atletico 1-0. Don't know who scored. Don't know who scored. Don't know what happened. Not going to talk about it.
I feel bad. I don't care.
That's I feel bad about it too. But honestly, man, there's too much stuff going on to watch every soccer game, right?
I mean, I feel bad. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. And Diego Simeone is pretty entertaining, right. And that team is pretty good. But right now, I don't care.
I don't care.
I just don't give a rat's ass.
Well, maybe a game a little bit close to your heart. We got Juventus versus Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, 2-1 halftime is a favorable result for Juventus. Mm-hmm. Borussia was bringing it.
And Juve was at home as well.
That's right. So this is, again, this tie is not even close to being over.
Oh, no.
And we talked about Mertesacker being a comical defender. Listen, Giorgio Chiellini is the most overrated defender.
Who rates him?
That's a great point.
Who rates Chiellini?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say because he gets a lot of love, and I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
Because he's not very good.
I've been saying that for 20 years.
He gets a little bit, I think, only because of the reputation of not him, but of guys who came long before him. Because the Italian football has always had good center backs. Don't have them anymore.
Right.
And he is just, he got, like, that was comical, the first goal. Just comical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, like, listen, Borussia taking care of it, you know, in getting out of the relegation zone in the Bundesliga,
mm-hmm.
playing a little bit more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to go anywhere in the league. So
this is a
dangerous, dangerous squad.
This is it for them. This is the only thing they're in that's, you know, they have a chance of winning. Well, going
absolutely.
Through anyway, but. Being successful.
I thought Juve bossed the game in the second half, like mm-hmm. the last 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But I also think that Klopp said, again, hey, the common theme,
mm-hmm.
right? Hey, guys, let's just make this manageable.
Yeah.
You know, you go down 3-1, it changes it, right? It changes it. But a 2-1, you know, you looked at it. A Borussia who probably, it's going to change, right? The story will change at home. They're going to look to push.
That one away goal is big.
Huge. Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. So.
And that's what it is, right? Like, it's two legs. And you said it before about guys being there before and knowing how to win and knowing how to get through, you know, the different battles.
Right.
To me, this is set up. First round, the first game in a knockout stage, right? Or, sorry, and, you know, home and away.
Mm-hmm.
You just give yourself a chance.
Right. And that's what Borussia did.
That, so.
Yeah, definitely. I remember I was watching this game. I was watching, it was the same time as Barca-Man City. So I was watching a little bit of Barca. I was flipping back and forth. And I watched the Juve game for a good 10 minutes, and then I flipped to Man City. When I flipped back, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
It was like 5 minutes I flipped for. It was 1-1 when I came back.
This is a nice, like we talked about this on other podcasts, but this Borussia's team is still full of.
Oh, yeah. For sure they are.
Like, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, he does not get enough. I mean, he's first of all, we all know his lightning pace, but
right. He's
worth the price of admission.
Well, there's some rumors that Arsenal are interested, but...
He fits that mold.
I don't know. I was of the belief if Arsenal brings in any more attackers, I'm going to shoot somebody. But after what I saw this past couple of weeks, we might need a new striker. But anyways, I keep saying we, like I'm on the payroll.
Well, I'll tell you who's not saying we. It's probably Stan Kroenke, and he owns them. We'll leave that alone. I'm not going to let that die. Anyway.
No. We'll give you a Stan Kroenke update every show. But next game, we have Porto versus Basel. And remember, this was our pick'em that it could go either way depending on which goalie feels the best.
Well, you mean like if you pick the watch it or not? Okay, so that's bad.
Yeah, that too. I don't even think that game was on. Well, actually, it probably was on TV, but
it's still a quality Champions League match. I get it, people. But you know, the other glamour matchups, taking over. I mean, what are the results here? I think.
And the result of this game?
Yeah.
It was 1-1.
Yeah. Right. So, again. Very wide open. Basel is not going to creep up and bite anybody anymore. They're legitimate, meaning all legitimate to be there. So they're not an easy out, right?
Ask Real. Ask Liverpool.
You know.
So, I mean, didn't watch this game either, but I would have if I, kind of remembered it was on. But anyways, and our last game is Shakhtar Donetsk against Bayern Munich.
Tough place to play.
We said it in the podcast.
Yeah.
Tough place to play. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were Bayern Munich, are you happy with 0-0?
I don't think you'd be happy with 0-0.
If you're Shakhtar Donetsk, are you happy with 0-0?
Hell yeah. Bayern's going back home.
Right. That's the only thing that's a little bit
scary.
If it's
not 3 or 4, that's a victory for Shakhtar.
Right.
Right. Hey, crazier things have happened.
Well, exactly.
But, again, tough place to play in this Champions League if you're tactically prepared. And if a team is, like we've said, right, if a team like Bayern isn't sharp on that day, anything can happen. It's all the cliches, but it really, I equate it to, the jabs, right? They're all jabs. Second leg, the return leg is where the home runs and the KOs come out.
Yeah, haymakers got to start flying.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's it. You just got to give yourself a shot. So, I mean, I really don't see this as being a close tie. I mean, I think Bayern, we all think Bayern should easily take this. But crazier things have happened.
I still like this Shakhtar team, but they always bring a bunch of Brazilians you never heard of and just kind of play the same short touches on the park.
And then make transfers, right? And then, keep replenishing.
And they keep replenishing. So that's the recap of what happened in Champions League. I believe the second leg. What's that?
Are we going to just what this all means? What did we learn?
You know what I learned?
About a certain league? Yeah.
I learned a lot about a certain league.
That's
the next thing we're going to talk about. So to end off this Champions League, I'm all flustered because Joe still thinks Arsenal's going to go through, and I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to talk to you guys and try to think in my head how the hell does this guy think that? But anyways, so that's that with the Champions League. So like Joe asked in the Champions League segment, what did we learn? What I learned in the Champions League from watching actually Champions League and Europa League. I learned this. Maybe the EPL, which is what I put as the bar for all other leagues. All other leagues should strive to be as competitive, as skillful, as tactically aware as the EPL. Because you compare the EPL to Serie A, and it's like everyone says it's so slow and this, that, and the third. When you watch the EPL, it's fast, it's physical, and you have to have skill.
It's a modern game, yeah.
Right. So, but is it really?
Well, that's our next thing.
Is it really the best league in the world? If you take a look at what happened the last 2 weeks in European play to the teams that are in the top half of the EPL, some in first place, some in seventh place, from first to seventh, all the teams are within there in the EPL. Liverpool played Besiktas in Europa League, and they lost. They lost, I believe, 1-0.
Yep.
Spurs played Fiorentina.
It wasn't even a close tie.
No. I think they lost 2-0, no?
Yep.
Arsenal, Monaco, we're not going to talk about that. Chelsea, the league leader in the EPL. The standard. Everyone needs to be like Chelsea. They're so fabric. They brought in Fabregas. They have Diego Costa. This, that, and the third. John Terry. Blah, 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 blah. 1-1 PSG.
What?
Man City. Barcelona. Man City spends all the money in the world. Aguero. Dzeko. Jovetic up top. Wilfred Bony. Yeah, Yaya Toure. Silva. Company. This team's stacked. Lost
2-1 at home.
Lost 2-1 at home, and it should have been more.
Yep. And it's playing like an underdog.
And playing like an underdog. So, what are we, when we say the EPL is, well, I don't say it anymore, but when we say the EPL is a standard in the world, as far as league should go, as far as monetarily, yeah, for sure. You want to make money, copy their business plan. You want to make money. You want to be the best team in the world, the best league in the world. I think you're going to have to do things a little bit different. Now,
Reg, I've always said this is, even when Serie A was the top league.
Right.
And they had all that money. We just said it. It's money. There's too many good leagues, and it's not even like we know the NBA is the best league in the world.
Right.
We know the NHL is the best hockey league. We know Major League. This is it. This is two things here. First of all, yeah, I learned the EPL might be a bit overrated.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But
it
I
is.
Also think that this is not something. If we did all this next year again, you might have all five or all the EPL teams on top, right? So there's two things. Yeah, wow. Didn't expect all the EPL teams to struggle like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is, this has happened before, right? This is all cyclical, and it just could be sometimes of a year or two, right?
Yeah,
it
but
wasn't so long ago that the German teams were not faring very well. The German teams are all in the thick of it.
Yeah, but when you talk about the German teams and the leagues that the German league, the Bundesliga doing well, La Liga is doing well, all those teams in those leagues have academies.
Well, this is the problem, right? This is back to what we were saying. This is what the hell did we think was going to happen?
Right.
Right. All this money is going toward this is it's money driven. These players are not playing at top levels. So sometimes when teams have to go with, you know, a lot of, let's say, domestic players
mm-hmm.
into European stadiums, mm-hmm. we talk about the difficulty of going into Shakhtar mm-hmm. right, into the Ukraine and playing, right? These players aren't, you know, they're not tested that way. And you're playing against teams that pride factor comes in.
Right,
and they got everything to play for. I mean, you got Fiorentina playing Tottenham, playing Spurs. You're telling me the Fiorentina makeup, and again, the theme of our show, Montella as the manager, isn't saying, hey, we have to show them this. We have to get up for this. Of course. You're damn right.
Right.
Some Torino. Going into Bilbao.
Right.
I mean, for God's sake, Bilbao is not a top-end team, but, I mean, most would say that Bilbao would be better than Torino,
mm-hmm.
you know, tough place to play, all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we put too much weight in this, the EPL being the best. It is the best entertainment.
Right. And that's the next thing I was going to say. If you want to watch a league that's 100 miles an hour and physical and fast and there's counter after counter after counter after counter, EPL is where it's at.
The one, right?
But if you want to see tactical. You want to see tactical football where the manager, every game, the manager has to change your tactics based on what team you're playing, you probably want to watch La Liga.
You know? And again, like, absolutely. And again, I've said this a ton of times on the podcast. Serie A, and listen, it's still got such a bad thing. It's got a long way to go. It's not in its prime, and no one's denying that. But there still seems to be teams that are more tactically aware and ready to go into tough places and at least, again, another theme of our show, give yourself a chance.
Right.
This was, to me, too brazen. A lot of these teams went in the EPL teams, too brazen and, dare I say, arrogant.
But let me ask you a question, Joe.
Yep.
And I want to bring it back to the, I don't know if it's academies or reserve teams or whatever you want to call it, whatever they call them in
the
Europe,
youth system. Doesn't matter, yeah.
Who's the last youth player to come out of Man City?
Oh, we know there's not really any.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's coming down the pipe? Is it just we're going to buy players every year, or do we have anything?
Yeah, like what's sustainable about this, right? And that's
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And that's my point too, that these players aren't playing an important game.
No, they're not.
So how do we expect them to be, you know, up to snuff when you have players who are, you know, the foreigners coming in? Well, they are playing those games. So you see what they're doing at the international level, right? Because they're playing important games every week.
Right. But the German teams have their academies set up properly. And there's four, five, six, seven guys from the youth team coming up to play for Borussia Dortmund.
And look how well they are. In the World Cup. I mean, were they the best team? Well, you got to say, because everybody they brought out was like another player who was domestically brought up, who's groomed the right way, if you will.
How many players play outside of Germany that were on the German national team? Three?
Yeah, exactly.
Ozil and Kadira and who else? Everybody plays.
And how important were they?
Right.
Right, they weren't even the top. So, again, like, it's just, what did we expect? And we see, like, oh, the English teams. But are they English?
Well, that's the thing as well, right?
You know, or are they whatever in all these places? So, again, this is an argument that I can go both ways on and so on. And back and forth, and we read too much into it or not. I think it's more of, is the approach. And you can't approach European football like you approach your domestic league.
No, it's totally different.
Right? Like, to go and play wide open every week is okay for the EPL, it's okay for the domestic league, but you got to bring a different approach in Europe.
Of course. Now, especially now in the round that you're in now. When you're playing the Barcelona and you're playing the Real Madrid and you're playing
the
Bayern Munich, you gotta lock it down a little tighter than when you're playing Stoke.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Chelsea looks fantastic against Stoke. Chelsea, but I'm saying, when you're going to play, like you said, Barcelona, well, this is the thing. This is the thing here.
You want to stand up toe to toe with those guys? Let's not do that.
Any of those top teams, let's say the top six, seven, eight in the EPL, they go and play Barca or Real, who's the favorite? Right. Barca and Real.
Right.
They go play Bayern Munich. Still Bayern Munich.
Right.
So this top league thing, to me, top league in terms of business plan, you said it.
Right.
Entertainment value.
Right.
A lot of stars, no doubt.
Right. Right? But I think all the stars that are in the league is what's killing the national team as well. You're going to tell me that the English Premier League is the best league, but their national team can't get out of the group stages of major tournaments. And
tell
it's
me
why.
About that. I mean, Serie A and the Italian national team is proof positive of that too.
Well, that needs
like your players are not playing against the best players.
Right.
Now in England, the top players are there, but your players aren't playing.
Right. Exactly.
You're watching them play.
Right. You have guys that are superstars for whatever European country, taking the place of the English guy who's on the bench watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Wayne Rooney's the only guy, really, right? I mean,
well, yeah, Wayne Rooney, Steven Gerrard plays a lot.
And behind him, with all due respect to him.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I don't see the next crop of player, that English player, that's gonna, you know, be that superstar that's gonna take a team on their back and take a national team on their back and you know. And do anything positive in these world tournaments, right?
Man City played Barca, and I think they mentioned 9 South Americans were on the field.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's about opportunities to play. And, again, the tactical awareness and giving the players an opportunity to play in important games, I mean, that's what we have to really judge. If we're judging the league on a soccer, football, development, not only development, quality, I would say, level. Because if it's about entertainment, it's not even close. The EPL is most entertaining.
Yeah, but I always look at it like the best teams in the world, the best national teams in the world, all their players play in their, their domestic leagues, and they all play. If you look at Barcelona, how many players are on the Spanish national team? If you look at Bayern Munich, how many players are on the German national team? And you look at Chelsea, how many players are on the national team? And that's the best team in the league.
I take it even one step further. I say that the best national teams in the world, their players are playing,
right,
as opposed to sitting on the bench. Right. If you look at the Argentinian players, well, let's say the two teams are in the World Cup final. Mm-hmm. Most of those players are playing on their teams, right?
Right.
I mean, even, okay, the Germans, you said only three playing outside of their domestic league. But you look at Argentina. Yeah, we know the best. You know that Messi's playing. You know that Aguero's playing.
Right.
You know that, well, Mascherano was.
Mascherano's
playing.
Yeah. Higuain, Royo, all those guys.
You know, Zabaleta.
Yeah.
On and on and on. I mean, in Brazil, the Brazilian players are still playing places.
Right.
You know, they're in first team.
Right.
So, you know, that's they got to be playing. They have to be playing an important game. Right. The Italian national team, they're all playing in Serie A. Great. Yeah, they're playing. But guess what? They got no one to play against.
Yeah.
Playing against tier two guys now.
That's right. So
that's why this argument could be looked at in so many different ways, right? But again, this is one of those wishy-washy, go back and forth on these. We could do the same thing next year and say, you know, wow, look at all the DPL teams that went through.
So. Yeah, that's true. Like you said, it's cyclical, so you never know what the best league's going to be. Just follow Arsene Wenger, man. When the Spanish team was great, he's bringing Spanish players.
No, Reg, I have the solution to your Arsenal dilemma.
What's that?
Big Sam.
Sam Allardyce?
Sam.
Get the hell out of here.
We're getting wacky now.
Get the hell out of here.
Getting wacky.
I think the next coach of...
Tony Pulis.
Yeah, okay. Next coach of Arsenal should be Jurgen Klopp.
Well, there was talk last year, right? And I thought that was the hot thing to do. But here's what's going to happen and should happen. Let's just get it over with. Marco Reus, Mats Hummels, Jurgen Klopp, you're welcome. Take care.
Yeah.
Go to Arsenal. I mean, just
You think they're going to spend that much money? You think they're going to spend money like that?
Back to where we started.
You think they're going to spend money like that?
Back to where we started.
Good
get
Lord.
Mr. Mustache. Get him going.
Good Lord.
Sell the team. Sell your stuff. And that's it. Spend some money for Reggie.
That's how I base what newspapers that I believe and don't. When I see a newspaper say that Arsenal's in for Paul Pogba at 80 million, I know that's garbage. I don't read that newspaper anymore.
Do you know the owner of my team?
Right. He's taking money so he can buy an NFL stadium out of people's pockets, but whatever. Talk about that. But anyways, you have anything else, Joe?
Well, Reg, at least your team is in close to being decent. One day we should have a requiem for this area, like a 30 for 30 kind of ESPN thing, just like a demise of a league.
Well, why is it? Why did it go down? I never really asked anybody about this. I just know that it used to be a great league, but now it's not.
Well, Reg, we're going to leave it with a teaser, right?
Yeah,
we're
going to
leave it. Right. We started with talking about money. We will end with talking about money and the lack thereof.
Right.
And that's basically it. I mean, I would love to talk about it one day on a different podcast for sure.
Okay.
But if you look at it, you know, just to leave our listeners with a little something, I think some might agree. The Juventus is the only team with the proper arena, proper stadium.
Beautiful
stadium. They own
their own stadium. Beautiful stadium.
It looks the part. It's the only one that looks like it could be, when you look at it visually on TV, it could be an EPL stadium, you know, a top-notch stadium
in
the world. Everything else just looks absolutely terrible with track around it.
Yeah,
and stuff.
The worst. The track is the worst.
Put it this way. It doesn't look the part.
Right.
When you dig deep with the league, that's what you start to see. It doesn't look, and there's a reason it doesn't look the part, because it isn't the part. So, yeah, listen, that's another day, but I would love to go through that and maybe educate the listeners.
I would love to have that. I've never asked why. I used to watch Serie A all the time, Ravinelli and Vialli and all those guys.
Well, the top players were there, Reg.
Right, so I just don't know why it went down like that. And I've never asked. So maybe we'll do that on another show. We'll have Serie A guys come in and talk to us about what the real downfall was. It can't just be that there's no talent there. It's got to be something else.
It's absolutely, yeah. There's talent, but there's they're going elsewhere because of the no money and very poorly set up. But yeah, I'd love to talk about it one day for sure.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's our show for the week, people. Get on the forum. Get on the website. Subscribe. Download. Enter the contest. Do it all. If you don't know what I'm talking about, visit the website, footballweekly.com, F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. All information is there. So Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Good luck, Arson.